Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. This week, my good friend and former Chop Talk guest, Randy Alley, was in town to get in a few workouts. Unfortunately, a few months ago, Randy was diagnosed with cancer. So he starts off the show by giving us an update on the amazing progress he's made fighting back from it. He then talks about the differences between his time with the Marines in Vietnam compared to the recent film American Sniper, and shares a couple of stories about his grandfather, who was a former U.S. Marshal. Cancer, old age and all, Randy looked so good during his visit that we couldn't help but give him a long overdue promotion to Nedon. So at the end of the show, we talk a little bit about the test. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. Well, Randy, how are you enjoying retirement?
Well, retirement is kind of a, I don't know, it's been interesting. Last year I was doing some training and I got to where I couldn't run and I couldn't catch my breath, and so when I got home...
Which is unusual for you because you were always such an active guy. You know, I remember just a few years ago, we were in Hawaii at the same time and it was you and me out hiking through the mountains.
Right.
And no problem keeping up. You know, you're, you know, how old? 5 or 10 years older than I am.
Not to mention my legs are 3 or 4 inches shorter.
Right, but I was having trouble keeping up with you. So being out of breath and running out of energy, that's not something you're used to.
No, I when I got home from the training I was doing, I went to the doctor and he told me I had a lung infection. And so we fought that for a month with antibiotics, and instead of getting better, it got worse. So we... got to the point where I couldn't hardly get up on the engine, so I didn't work the last few days of November, and then bumped on a yard engine and worked one trip and retired the 2nd of December.
And you've been looking forward to that for a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I wanted to get away from it. Yeah. So most people retire in the early 60s, and I was 69 and I had 3/4 probably by then. And yeah. So the 12th of December, they put me in a hospital and did a bunch of tests. And a little gal told me after doing some bronchial biopsies that there was no way I had cancer. I was good to go and in no imminent danger. And she was going on vacation.
Nice. No worries. You know, she's going.
You're going
on the beach. You can relax.
Yeah. So that we scheduled a guided MRI biopsy for the 26th of December on a tumor that they had in my lung. And the guy refused to do it, so that afternoon I called Mayo's, and they got me in the following Monday. Tuesday morning they did the biopsy, and on New Year's Eve, Dr. Bakir at Mayo's called me and told me I had adenocarcinoma.
Jesus.
So
you drove...
Six hours.
6 hours to get this test, and...
Well, the results are the results. You can't change that.
Yeah.
So we came back home and started treatments with chemo. I had 2 spots on my liver, 3 bones had spots on them.
God.
I had one spot, one tumor in one lung, and one tumor in the pleural on the other lung, and 4 spots in my head that were 3 millimeters each.
Oh my God.
So we started treating it with chemo. Doctor said anywhere between 2 months and 2 years. And my reply was superior mind, superior attitude, improvise, adapt, overcome. I don't see a toe tag yet. Who appointed you God? And he looked at my wife and said, well, you can take the man out of the Marines, but you can't take the Marine out of the man. And said that usually 9 out of 10 guys that are Marines fight cancer harder.
Really?
Than what normal person would.
Okay.
And
was,
I don't know.
Was it the training? Is it the mindset? Who knows?
Mindset. Never give up. Mm-hmm. And so we started, and about, I was constantly coughing up this clear syrupy fluid out of my lungs to the point to where I'd gag. Well, you saw me, I'd lost 35, 40 pounds.
My God, Randy, I saw you, the last time I saw you was, I guess, what, 5 months ago?
Yep.
And not the same guy. You're an active, up and around guy, and you're on oxygen, you're in your chair, you're hacking up this shit. You didn't look good.
Well, I probably looked like I was going to die. I'd lost 35, 40 pounds, and I couldn't get up and go to the bathroom without help.
Jesus.
And so we kept this up, and the middle of March, towards the end of March, the coughing stopped, and all of a sudden I didn't need as much oxygen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my lungs were gaining capacity.
Right.
And by April, I was up, well, probably a month later, I was up walking around doing stuff. I'd get out of breath, but I could walk.
Yeah.
And it's just progressively gotten better. They said now, the last PET scan I had said there was one bone had a 1.1 millimeter spot. The other two bones were clear. The liver was clear. Their spots were gone off the liver.
Great.
The two in my lungs were down to 2 millimeters or less. And then now when I come home from this trip with you, Monday we start test again, CT scan and MRI, and start the radiation for the tumors in my brain.
Oh, that's great. So the chemo really did the trick about knocking back sort of the stuff that was out there.
Well, yeah, and we've been doing some other proactive stuff. We've been watching my pH. When the first time I checked my pH, it was zero. And cancer can't grow in an alkaline environment, so we've been keeping my pH between 6.5 and 7, okay. Taking stuff
okay.
to make it that way,
okay.
and doing acupuncture and chiropractic adjustments mm-hmm. to keep all the electrical mm-hmm. currents in my body going. I've got two kinds of mutations in my cell, good and bad, and the bad stops the chemo from doing its work, and the good lets it do it, so we've been trying to keep the good ones
the good
lined
one.
Up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so right now, I'm very optimistic. I've gained back the weight I've lost.
Yeah.
I'm able to maintain the weight without eating like a horse. The only bad thing about this was when they were first giving me the steroids, my heart rate was like 125, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
I could eat anything and everything I wanted as much as I wanted, never get full, and never gain a pound. It was great. Now, now I kind of got to watch.
You're like little hummingbird.
Just going.
That's a pretty good diet plan then, if anyone wants to lose a couple pounds.
Yeah, all you gotta do is get cancer.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that things have progressed, and you know, going from the, you know, the x-rays that they had of your lungs and the body scans that were just
they were horrendous.
Yeah, would you say it looked like there was
looks like I had wheat growing in my
Jesus.
Lungs.
Jesus.
And so, you know, I can be thankful that I'm up walking around.
Yeah.
And if you really want to get scared, retire and then have a doctor tell you you got 2 months to 2 years to live.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
You've been looking forward to it all this time, and then all of a sudden...
Well, I worked for the railroad for 40 years and 8 months.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to it, and now it looks like we're going to get to enjoy our retirement.
Yeah.
It's been... Linda's been a wonderful caretaker. I mean, when she had just had a bunionectomy on her left foot when I went to Mayo's, and we got up there, and she wouldn't let anybody push my wheelchair. I couldn't walk. And I was in the wheelchair holding an oxygen bottle, and here she is with one of those RoboCop boots on, pushed me down the hallways, and aides had asked if they could push, no, because she couldn't keep up with her philosophy. She just didn't want them around me, I don't think.
And she wanted to, she was protecting you. She wanted to take care of.
Well, people say we're Twitter-pated anyway.
Twitter, what is it?
Twitter-pated.
Twitter-pated, what is that?
Well, you remember in the cartoon Bambi, they said that they were Twitter-pated, so... Yeah. My daughter says Linda and I are Twitter-pated.
Very good. Oh, I'm glad you're doing so much better and you're working out again.
Yeah, that's one thing I really enjoy is I'm able to run a kata. I tried this about 2 months ago and overdid, and I found out that I couldn't work out like I wanted to, but now I'm at least working out, and that's helping. Anytime you can exercise, you're going to help the blood flow, and that increases your chances of survival.
Absolutely. Well, I think that cancer fucked with the wrong Marine.
Well, you can put it that way.
Good, good. Well, you know, you were telling me a few other stories this week about your grandpa. I guess he was a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, at one time he was a U.S. Marshal down in southwest Missouri. And he was quite a guy. I remember that one time my two cousins were 17, 18, and he raised them and my... other cousin Sharon and I got a kick out of it. They were gonna whip my grandfather. Well, that didn't work out too well for him. and then he had a kind of a.
Wait a minute. Skip over that. What happened?
Well, they got their butts whipped
by the old man.
By the old man. It lasted, and he was in his 60s then, and I would 60s early late 60s early 70s, and he was always really. Physically ripped. He'd worked hard all his life, and it didn't last 25 seconds, 20 seconds. It was just about three or four punches. It was all over for both of them. But
they were back in line.
They were quiet.
Yeah. They weren't happy. But.
Not when they woke up. But I guess every young man, his testosterone gets the best of him, but they should have left him alone.
Yeah.
I worked for my grandfather some of the summers, and he, first time I went up to work for him, I thought, well, I'll just play baseball and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And he takes me out to this bean field, and he says, this is your bean field. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked at it, and he said, here's your sickle, here's your file, showed me how to use the file, this is your jug of water, and here's a straw hat. I don't expect to see a weed in this field all summer long. Says you can do it as fast or as slow as you want, as many times or as few times as you want, but I don't want to see any weeds. So I thought, well, I'll just get this done and get it over with. So the first day I got it done, I thought, now I can go play baseball. Mm-hmm. He says, well, I'm glad you got that done. Now you can go to work with me. You can be the gopher for the guys at work.
And you were 4 years old at this time, right?
No, I was about 7 or 8.
Oh, okay.
And
so we're only violating some minor child labor laws there.
It's not child labor when you work for the family.
That's a good point. There's also a way to work around
and he paid me fairly. I mean, he was more than fair with me, but if a guy dropped his hammer or wanted water and he was on the roof, it was up to me to make sure he got it. Or if he needed nails, I'd take a bag of nails up and give him nails. And, and it wasn't a hard job. And we had this guy come to work with for us, and well, for Grandpa. And he says, Granddad says, I've heard all about you. He says, you're a practical joker. And this is in the 50s, 52, 53. And he says, I'll tolerate none of that on this job. And so about 10 o'clock, we had a break, 10-minute break, and everybody had their smokes or whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. Grandpa started up the ladder, and this guy untied his nail apron, and it hit the ground. Grandpa just kind of looked over at his shoulder at him, got down, picked his nail apron on, tied it back up, and went back up on the roof. I told Bill, I said, I don't think I'd make a habit of that. I said, I know my granddad pretty well, and I just don't think I'd do that. By this time, I was about 10.
Mm-hmm. You're an old seasoned veteran at this
point. Well, I had my butt chewed for not doing what I was supposed to be doing, and had seen him take care of other men over the years. And so I just basically did my job and stayed out of his way on the job. And this guy, he said, I ain't listening to you. You're just a kid. Mm-hmm. I says, yeah, but I've been watching this 3 years. Yeah, I go away. Well, about noon, we had lunch, and Grandpa started up the ladder, and I noticed he had his hammer in his hand.
Okay.
And this guy untied his nail apron, and Grandpa caught him right in the side of the head and knocked him cold. Well, this is back in the 50s. You could get away with that then.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't going to go to whatever shyster lawyer was advertising on TV and,
yeah, and
do
so
a class action lawsuit.
Grandpa looked over at me and says, "Randy, boy, get some water." Throw it in his face, wake him up, tell him to go to the office, pick his time up. Mm-hmm. So I woke him up. He sat under the tree and he got his head cleared. And I said, Grandpa said, "You're to go to the office and get your time." And he said, "Oh, I can't lose this job." I said, "Well, you did a good job of doing that."
You should have thought about that before.
Yeah. And he said he had a couple kids. He said, "I got to talk to your granddad." I said, "Well, you can talk to him. I don't know if it'll do any good." I said, "You should have listened to me." Mm-hmm. So after work, he actually got on his knees and begged for his job back. And Grandpa said, "Okay, but you ever, one practical joke, you're done forever." Well, I grew up, went to the Marine Corps. Bill was still working for Grandpa. Matter of fact, he was a crew foreman. Granddad had a second crew, and he was a crew foreman, and he really shaped up. And when I come back, he started crying because he thought I'd been killed.
Wow.
So it was pretty good.
That's great.
What's next on the list?
Well, you're talking about your granddad and kind of getting into the Marines a little bit there. Because he was in law enforcement, was that part of the reason you decided to go in that direction?
Nope.
Okay. Did he have any advice for you or anything going into it?
Yep. Said learn your lessons well.
Okay. That's good.
So he just, I decided to join the Marines on my own.
Okay.
I was in a National Guard unit and it was all tanks, and I wanted to jump, mm-hmm. parachute, and they wouldn't let me, so I just went over. Since it was a National Guard unit, I just switched over and went into the Marines.
Okay. And, you know, there's been some movies that have come out recently about the war. American Sniper is a big one.
Yeah.
Right? It did a huge box office, got a bunch of great reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, comparing that to some of the stuff that you were doing over there, is it similar, different? I mean, obviously, I think you're in a jungle rather than the desert.
Yeah, we were in a jungle, and
they're both probably hot.
Yeah, and American Sniper, they now the shooters work with a spotter,
okay,
and a backup guy. You know, just the two of them as a team. Sometimes there's four or five in a team. They'll move a whole team in, like of people with spotters and stuff.
I've seen that just anecdotally. I don't know anything about the shooting, but I've seen the TV or the documentaries. These guys look at their binoculars. Okay, two clicks to the left, two up. There's the guy. So one guy's telling them where to go.
That's actually a range-finding binocular.
Okay.
And so in Vietnam, all the shooters work by themselves.
Oh.
It was kind of like, if you're caught, you're done, and you have no backup.
Wow.
Sometimes they'd send the shooters out with a team, mm-hmm. and they were an overwatch, like they were in American Sniper. Their job was to keep a lot of people off of them. If they had a large group come down, they were supposed to start taking people out.
So they were the sniper was out on his own, but these other guys were maybe in the area.
No, he'd be assigned to a team if they were on a bad mission. Okay. But a lot of times they were just out on their own.
Wow.
Most of the time they were out on their own.
That's got to be scary.
Could be.
Yeah.
Probably don't take a crap for a week after a mission.
Because you shit your pants during it?
No, because you're puckered so tight.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
When you went out on the missions, you talked about this a little bit earlier in the week also, jumping in, getting dropped. Somebody was talking about getting dropped off.
Well, you don't usually jump in, but they would take us in by helicopter at first, and that didn't work out well because they knew right where we were and they'd have to extract it.
Well, sure, here's the Huey dropping down.
Yeah.
And then it comes back up and there's a couple, you can see through that door, there's no more guys.
Well, it's even worse than that. Sometimes when I was first over there, they were using the Sikorsky helicopters, which made even more noise.
Okay.
And were even slower. So they'd drop you off that way. Well, then a lot of times we'd use the riverine boats,
mm-hmm.
but that was a giveaway too because they watched those like a hawk. And when they'd pull into the bank and you'd get off and they'd take off, then pretty quick you were calling them, come extract you a lot of times because you were taking so much heavy fire.
Right.
Of course, they always enjoyed coming back into the heavy fire.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there in a minute.
So actually what started doing was they'd take a team and like a reconnaissance team, mm-hmm. which I was in, and we'd walk in with an infantry platoon and we'd just drop off in the...
Okay.
And that seemed to be the best way to get into...
So you just looked like you were part of this platoon just going on whatever
yep.
routine patrol.
Yep.
And somewhere out in the jungle where there's probably a lot less people looking...
We'd just drop off.
One of you goes off.
Unless they were counting, they'd miss it.
Right.
Then they had to figure out where we dropped off and where we were, so that worked pretty well.
Oh, very cool. Now, when you got back, you were kind of full of piss and vinegar.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. So
wired for sound would be more like
it. What was this story about you beating up a cop?
Oh, well, I didn't really beat him up.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine, his wife had passed away with a cerebral hemorrhage.
Mm.
Aneurysm, I'm sorry. And I took him out on the river fishing to have a good time. And
yeah.
When we come back, we'd been drinking some beer, and we stopped along the road and pulled off in this place, and we were going to the restroom. And
mm-hmm.
while I was going to the restroom, he smacked me, and I rolled down this hill.
Yeah. Just what? Did you piss him off? Did you?
I guess.
Did you steal his fish?
Well, that'll come later.
Okay.
So I roll down this embankment, and I get up, and he's busted my teeth and cut my lip.
Jesus Christ.
And so I got back up the top of the hill, and I says, what the hell was that all about? He says, well, I thought that'd be you'd be a good go, so I just thought I'd try you. I says, well, yeah. He says, you really surprised me. I says, well, don't be surprised because the fight just started. And I kicked him in the balls and commenced to beat the shit out of him.
What was he thinking? Just, I'm just going to hit this guy?
I guess.
Christ.
And,
oh, my God.
So then one of his friends, I guess he saw us, he stopped and he grabbed me and round the head and grabbed my ear to pull me off of him. And I broke three of his ribs and smacked him a couple times. His girlfriend was screaming and I said, well, you know, he should have kept his nose in his own business.
Yeah.
So I put Trick Chris in the truck and took him in and dropped him off. Well, I'm on the way home and this cop pulls me over,
mm-hmm.
Regular Barney Fife.
Oh, God.
And pulls his gun on me.
Jesus.
His hands shaking, his fingers on the trigger. And, of course, I'm not too far out of Vietnam.
Right. And this is the 1970s, so we don't have quite as many shootings as we do now, so the cops aren't used to having their guns out as much.
Well, I don't know about that, but he was shaking.
Jesus.
So he kept poking me with the end of his gun. Well, if you poke somebody with the barrel of a pistol and you got your finger on a trigger, the next thing is the gun goes forward, the trigger goes back. So I disarmed him, took his handcuffs and handcuffed his hands between his legs, emptied his pistol and laid it on his chest. Well, about that time, a couple friends of mine that were...
Wow.
State and county police officers pulled up.
Old Betsy. Was that Barney Fife's bullet's name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they saw that I was hurt, so they said, well, you got to go to the hospital. And
yeah.
So they took him and me both after that. We were both over to the county sheriff's office, and the sheriff and the state trooper are talking to this guy, and they said, well, it seems like this fight that started was self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't arrest him for attacking this guy because he hit him first. If you're going to arrest somebody, you've got to arrest this guy because this was self-defense.
Right.
No, I'm not going to drop the charges. All of a sudden, one of the officers pulls out a Polaroid camera and starts taking pictures of him. And he's looking at him like, what? And he says, well, now, he said... while you were laying on the ground, they took pictures of him, too, with his pistol on him.
Okay. So they had a bunch of...
They had a bunch of pictures. And
of this guy with his gun on his chest and his leg up, his handcuffs between there.
And me with my foot on him. And they said, we're going to...
Do you have any copies of those photos? You have to
No,
have
they
one.
Didn't let me have them.
Oh, wow. Do they still have them? They still have them.
We get all these guys. They're all retired now.
Well, they don't care then.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, they told him if he didn't drop the charges, they were going to put the pictures in the newspaper. Well, I was friends with all of them, and they all knew my service record and stuff, so that went away, but it was kind of funny at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
But you got a lot away with a lot back then that you wouldn't get away with now.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyo to shite imasen ka? Sports massage, kenkou no specialist, Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC de wa okyaku sama no karada ni awasaita massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takameru, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, getsuyobi kara doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1-28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com Ego, Portugalo go, Spain go, Nihongo ga hanaseru staff ga imasu.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good working out with you. I'm glad that I can work out again.
Yeah, me too. And
it's not high speed, low drag, but it's low speed, high drag.
Yeah.
And but at least I'm working out.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything's going in the right direction. So I'm looking forward to the next time I see you. You know, it's going
to
be back.
They'll try to come out in July.
Yeah.
Depends on what they do with this chemo, or the radiation.
Mm, yeah, what is the next step?
Well, Monday, I found out that my wife, when I was talking to her on the phone, informed me that I'm doing a pulmonary test to see how my lung capacity is, and then Tuesday a CT scan, and Wednesday an MRI. Mm. And then on the 17th, I see my oncologist. The last time I saw him, him and the radiologist were arguing about spot radiation or whole head radiation.
Mm.
Well, what I'd read, whole head radiation is a greater chance of brain damage.
Okay.
And I was pretty well set on the spot radiation.
Yeah.
And then after what happened to Vice President Biden's son,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of leaning the other way.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. It'd be interesting to find out what type of brain cancer he had compared to what you had.
And that's going to be hard to do.
Right.
So we'll just play it by ear and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need all the brain you can.
Yeah.
You've got. Well, you've been dealing with that what do you call it, the chemo fog? So sitting here talking to you, we got all these stories, everything's fine, but occasionally you talk and it's gone, or some of that stuff you're reaching back for...
Is gone.
But it comes back.
They said 6 months to a year.
Okay, once it gets out of your system.
And the nurse gave me some tips on how to keep it from affecting my karate and stuff,
yeah.
But we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know how long this is going to take. I've got to do 12 treatments, and it's 5 days straight, 2 days off, 5 days straight, 2 days off, and then two treatments.
And you're not sure how it's all going to affect you, because some of the different medication you've had, the shots, things like that.
Yeah, they changed my medication here a couple time before last,
mm-hmm.
and it made me sick. They gave me a shot instead of some intravenous stuff. Mm-hmm. And then a couple days before I come out here, I had that shot, and I felt fine for a couple of days, and then there was a couple of days I was pretty punk, didn't feel good at all.
Right.
And now today I feel fine.
Good.
So.
You're good. Well, your karate's looking good.
Yeah. When you pull surprises like you did yesterday.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I think, we did a sneak review on you,
yeah.
on you yesterday.
Yep.
And,
Mr. Hammond come out in his formal gi. I knew something was up, and before I said anything, he said, Well, we're going to test you for Nedon this afternoon. Okay. Thanks for the warning, Nate.
Well, look, I did warn you that if I ever say, look, in the middle of the afternoon, me and the 7th degree black belt want to work out with you, don't go wear yourself out during the day doing all your other karate stuff.
Well, you know, it just never occurred to me that I would be tested.
Well, you know, it's a long time coming. You know, it's definitely deserved. I think we would have done it a few years ago if Charlotte hadn't passed away. Because you know, the plan was at that time review her for black belt and review you for Nidan at the same time, because you were training her and you were sharp on all the stuff and in good shape and had it all down. But you know, obviously when she passed away right before the test, that kind of put a
damper on both of us.
On both of us, and
she was close to both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real shame what happened. Real waste.
Yep, definite waste.
Yeah. Well, all right. Before we start getting into a depression spiral here,
we're not going to do that.
All right. Well, it's good seeing you again.
Good seeing you.
Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you.
Congratulations on kicking cancer's ass.
So far, I've been doing a fairly decent job.
Good.
With some help.
And we'll see you in a couple months.
Probably in July sometime.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's close this out and go have some fun. I'll drive 6 hours home.
Sounds good. All right, Mr. Riley. Thank you very much.
And Mr. England, thank you.
See you.
That's all for this visit with my good friend, Randy Alley. Congrats to Randy on his recent promotion, and we wish him the best on his ongoing fight with cancer. We're looking forward to having him back in a few months to give us another update. Nihei de biru and mataya. We'll see you next week. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.